Jesus can take a meth head and make a minister. Jesus can take a drunk and make a deacon. Jesus can take a harlot and give them hope. Jesus can take anxiety to blessed insurance. Jesus can take a mite and make a million. Jesus can take a preacher and make a preacher out of a pagan. Jesus can take a deranged demonic madman and make him a new disciple. Amen.
Welcome to the Calhoun Baptist Church Podcast, your portal to explore the profound truths of God's Word and find encouragement for your spiritual journey. In today's episode, we are excited to present a sermon that delves into the depths of compassion and restoration. Titled Jesus and Legion, this sermon by Brother Mark Abney takes us on a transformative exploration of Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. As we unpack the encounter between Jesus and Legion, Brother Mark illuminates the power of Christ's healing and redemption. Join us as we delve into this episode, gaining insights that can heal our wounds and inspire our faith. Through this podcast, we invite you to discover the limitless grace of Jesus and how it can transform even the most broken situations. Thank you for tuning in to the Calhoun Baptist Church Podcast. Get ready to be enlightened, encouraged, and empowered as we immerse ourselves into the transformative message of Jesus and Legion. And now, Brother Mark.
We're going to be in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. We're slowly working our way through the Gospel of Mark. I don't know about you, but I've sure been enjoying Mark and the Gospel of Mark and the stories in there, the parables, how Jesus began to work the miracles. And here we get to the place where Jesus meets the most evil, demonic person in all of the Bible, and he casts the demon out. If you would, stand with me as we read out of God's Word, Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And they came to the other side. You remember last week, they was caught in a storm as Jesus directed them to go to the other side. Well, this week we see they have arrived. They got to the other side, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And he lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he fell down before him. And he cried with a loud voice and he says, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjourn you by God. Do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly, "Do not send them out of the country." And now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs and let us enter them." So he gave them permission. Matthew, he said, "Go." And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told in the city and in the country. And the people came to see what was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged that he might go with him. And he did not permit him to do so. And he said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. Let's pray. Father God, take your word and rightly divide it in our hearts. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Give me the words to speak. Lord, let your message today be clear. Say what you want to say through me. Lord, I give myself to you. I humbly kneel before this pulpit and say, Lord, you have my voice. Say what you want to say to us, that we might be made alive by your word. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. All of these parables that we've been studying, these miracles of Jesus, are building upon one another to show us what the kingdom of God is like. And here Jesus takes the meanest, ugliest, nastiest, most demonic man in all the Bible and radically changes his life. A person whom no one else would even talk to, associate with, and people ran away from, Jesus ministers to him. Not only did Jesus minister to him and heal him and make him new and clean, but Jesus gave him kingdom purpose. Legion went from the least important in all of Decapolis to the most important in that region. Jesus can take a meth head and make a minister. Jesus can take a drunk and make a deacon. Jesus can take a harlot and give them hope. Jesus can take anxiety to blessed insurance. Jesus can take a mite and make a million. Jesus can take a preacher and make a preacher out of a pagan. Jesus can take a deranged demonic madman and make him a new disciple. Amen. Let's look at our text today. Legion was an evil man. He had an evil spirit. What is the condition of this poor man? Let's look at him. The Bible says he was a man with an unclean spirit. Now, the terrifying thing about this is that the literal translation of this would be a man in an unclean spirit. In other words, when you met this man, you would see the evil spirit and not the man, because he was overcome by the evil spirit. So in the life of this man, his personality was completely buried. He was absolutely possessed by this evil spirit. The Revised Version puts it this way: a man possessed with or possessed by an evil spirit. Legion was in such a state that he had no friends, no family, and every person he encountered ran away from him, scared to death. Now, I don't know how much you know about me, but this message hits really close to home. I have seen evil spirits in people. I've witnessed evil spirits in people, and they are very, very, very frightening. They will make the hair on the back of your neck stand on end. I don't know if you've ever experienced someone who had an evil spirit, but it's very scary. And Legion was this kind of a person. He had an evil lifestyle. Verse 3 said that he lived in the cemetery among the tombs. Legion had isolated himself as far away from society as possible. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Generally, people who isolate themselves from others are up to no good. They live alone because they don't want anyone to know what they're doing or how they're living. And that's why we get accountability partners in Celebrate Recovery. That's why the Bible says two are better than one, and a cord of three is the best of all. We were never created to be alone. We should always have somebody that holds us accountable. His home was a place that nobody visited. He was an outcast. He was a reject of society. He was the most undesirable, unloving, inhospitable, impossible person in all of Decapolis. That's 10 cities. And no one could bind him anymore, the Bible says, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. People who are possessed by demons have supernatural strength, the strength of Satan himself. The man broke every restraint that was put upon him. Nothing could hold him. He just snapped it into pieces. Matthew tells us the same story this way. He was exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass his way. He had evil characteristics. Verse 5, always night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs crying. Night and day, he screamed in torment. His character was so fearful. No one associated with him or even went near him. He was restless and filled with anxiety and torment. And he was always crying out day and night, and he cut himself with stones. He practiced self-mutilation. He was unconsciously controlled by the demonic spirit, and he suffered physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He was in constant torment. What a sad and terrifying picture of a man when he's possessed by an evil spirit. There's another place that's in the Bible that's described where people act the same way all over that place. And the place is called hell. And the torment never goes away. The worm never dries. The crying never stops. Continually, night and day, year after year, forever. Review with me this state of Legion. Isolation, lawlessness, anxiety, torment, danger to other people. Is that so out of date? Is that so far removed from today? Are you aware of these characteristics in our society? This is the 20th century demon-possessed world in which we live, is it not? It may be as near to you as someone sitting in this congregation today. It may be as near to you as one of your own family members. It is absolutely as near as many in our community today, and we see it throughout our community. And in fact, in the 21st century, it's like most of society. Demonic possession comes in all forms and degrees, the least being a heart that's not filled with the Holy Spirit. Not that there are a lot of good people in the world, amen, but they're not followers of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Matthew 12:30, whoever is not for me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Good and evil, God and Satan, are always opposing one another. Demonic possession in the most severe forms perform mass shootings, murders, human sacrifice, including abortion of the unborn, sexual mutilation of children, sexual misconduct, abuse, kidnapping, along with human trafficking. Apart from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are, for all the above, at the same level. In other words, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, then you are against God and not for Him. The advocate of all your bad choices, the one responsible for all your addictions, all your hurts, all your bad habits, all your hang-ups, is none other than the devil. The one responsible for this broken world in which we live is the devil. The one responsible for chaos and selfishness and hate and sin is none other than the devil. Amen? God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of all the saints. Do not think for a moment that you and I were never capable of being legion. For if it wasn't for the power of Jesus Christ and His saving grace and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, our heart would be a playground for the Satan and all his demons. Amen. But Legion met Jesus that day. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he fell down before him and he cried with this loud voice and he says, "What are you going to do with me, Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High God?" Even Satan recognizes Jesus for who he is. Many people in our society don't, but the devil and his demons do. They know exactly who he is. He says, "I beg you, God, don't torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country, but to send him into the herd of pigs that was feeding there on the hillside. So he gave them permission. He said, "Go." And the unclean spirit came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. And the herdsmen fled, and they told in the city and in the country. And the people came to see what it was that happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had been legion, sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what had happened. The legion of demons had so possessed this man that he was almost unrecognizable. His personality was subdued as they held him in their power. He was absolutely powerless and helpless and controlled beyond recognition. But there came a moment when the demons seen Jesus Christ coming and they began to cringe. They began to shudder. They began to get scared. Observe the following language of the unclean spirits in verse 7. Legion calls Jesus Son of the Most High God. No one else recognized Jesus when he arrived in this city. Even the disciples had been struggling with their faith. You remember in the storm, Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they said, "Hey, we're drowning here. What are you going to do?" And Jesus got up, and he calmed the sea, and he calmed the wind. And they go, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Jesus had already recognized the devil in Legion and was exercising authority to remove that old demon from this man's life. Christ spoke the words, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." And on the words of Jesus' lips, the demons have to obey. Jesus did not begin ministering to Legion by putting clothes on him. He didn't start by bandaging up his wounds where he'd cut himself with stones. He didn't clean his mouth up first. No, he cleaned up his heart first and cast out the demon. The only way to get the hell out of where you live is to get the hell out of your heart. For those who suffer from demonic possession, social reform is not the answer. Psychological treatment is not what is needed. Psychiatric treatment with medication is no remedy. The evil spirit must be removed first before any restoration can happen. Notice how Jesus asked the evil spirit's name. The evil spirit replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." A legion in that day was 6,000 soldiers. My name, the man answered, my name. And then he stopped and said, "It's Legion, for we are many." I think just thinking about that, maybe the man swayed back into who he really was and was going to say his real name before the demons took over and said, "We're Legion, we're many." They controlled him. Then with one word of authority that you have in Matthew 8:32, Jesus says, "Go." When Jesus says, "Go," they left. They had to go. It could be that Jesus used the pigs as a scapegoat, showing us how we can be free of sin. It could be that Jesus was showing us the destructive nature of sin as the pigs run down off the cliff into the abyss. It could be a foreshadowing of how Jesus will one day cast Satan and all his demons into that great abyss. Amen? Now, you've heard me say that the people of this locality worshiped hogs, which I said last week. And here's the evidence. Whatever you place in your life before God is called an idol. Amen? And here the crowd asked Jesus to leave the country because he had just destroyed their herd of pigs, their livelihood, their money. He took away from them what they wanted. And so they said, "We'd rather have the pigs than you, so please leave." Was that not an idol? They put hogs before Jesus. They were more concerned with their material loss than they were with the salvation of the soul. But Legion, he became a new man. And the people came and seen what had happened. And they came to Jesus and they saw Legion, the demon-possessed man, sitting at Jesus' feet in his right mind, clothed. And here we see the restoration of Legion. We find him sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. The storm is over. The isolation is ended. The resting is in his heart instead of his restlessness. The chains have fallen off. He is free, and he is free indeed because the Son has set him free. In verse 15, the Bible tells us that this man was in his right mind. He had been driven absolutely mad by this spiritual battle in his soul. May I venture to say that insanity is far more often connected with spiritual demonic possession than we recognize. Our mental institutions today are overcrowded, and I suspect there are many who are there who are tormented by evil spirits. You have no idea what you will be when Jesus puts you in your right mind and saves you. You're free of sin, you're free of anxiety, you're free of worry, you're free, and you have peace. Peace that passes understanding. You have a joy in your heart, you have hope, you have a plan for your life. You are a significant person, a person that Jesus died for on the cross of Calvary, and you were worth saving because he died for you. The paralyzed man in the Bible went from an invalid to a dancer. Matthew, the crooked tax collector, went from a crook to a gospel writer. Paul went from a terrorist to a missionary. So too, you and I were madmen before we met God. Amen? I respectfully say that there are many non-believing psychiatrists who will play down this situation. They might say that the insanity is merely an unfortunate reflex which can be cured by medication. I can even go as far as to tell you that among Christian community, there are very few people in the Christian community who recognize demonic possession or even would know how to deal with such an issue. I know that because I've asked. I've inquired, I've went to churches, I've went to pastors, I've went everywhere looking for someone who would address a demonic person in that situation. And most of the time, they shy away in fear. Some say, "Well, go talk to a Catholic priest, maybe they can help you." The disciples were sent out to cast out demons by Jesus. And they even struggled to be successful. Matthew 17:14. And when they came to a crowd, a man came up to Jesus and kneeling before him, he said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often he falls into the water. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was instantly healed. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "We could not cast him out." And he said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you that if you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed." Jeff brought me these grains of mustard. You can't even see them, can you? They are so little in the bottom of that bottle. If you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible for you. Well, Jesus takes Legion, who's now in his right mind, and makes him a missionary. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might go with him. And Jesus said, no. You go home and you tell your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and he began to proclaim the gospel in Decapolis on how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. He became a witness of Jesus Christ. He had a testimony. Do you? He began to share how great Jesus was, how he saved him, how he cast the demon out of him, how he restored his life, how he gave him freedom from Satan, and how Jesus loved him and came to him and ministered to him and set him right and set his feet on the rock and gave him a hope and gave him a new life and gave him a plan and made him a significant person. Did he do that for you? The restored man begged that he might go with Jesus because he was in this pagan country. There were no other believers around him. Here he was in a place where people put hogs ahead of Jesus Christ, who worshiped idols, a pagan country who did not believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, no, you stay here. What? No, you stay here and witness. Huh? No, you have to stay here and be a witness for me. I saved you. I freed you from the demon. You are now mine. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You stay here and share the gospel. Okay. I can see him walking away with his head hanging down. Says, how am I going to do that? What am I going to do? Go home and tell your friends how great the Lord is. Go home and tell your friends all that he has done for you. Have a testimony. Be a witness. Do you have a testimony? Are you a witness for Jesus Christ? Do people where you work know that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And people in your family, do they know that you're a believer? The people that you meet on the streets, do they have an idea that you're probably a Christian? Can they tell? Do you look different than the world? Do you act different than the world? Have a testimony. Be a witness. The man who was Legion, whom Jesus restored and saved, became quite a witness. Look at Mark 6:53. When they had crossed over, they went back to the other side. And then they crossed back over to the other side in 653. And when they crossed over, they came to this land of Gennesaret, one of the Decapolis cities, and moored to the shore. I think that means they grounded. They moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized who Jesus was. Remember before when they went to the other side, Legion was the only one that recognized Jesus. Now they come to the other side, and here's this crowd of people, and they all recognized who Jesus was. Legion must have done his job. Amen? Amen. What a witness he was in that place. Conclusion, here's the mystery. Let your spiritual ears be wide open. Let the Holy Spirit plant a seed, never to die out in your hearts. May it sound the word of warning in your soul. Jesus commands devils, but he only pleads with you. You see, he told that demon to go, and the demon had to go. And he begs us and pleads with us to come and open our heart to him. He faced that demon-possessed man, and he spoke absolute finality to the demons, saying, go. And I think of him turning his back upon that country and district and walking away from them and answering their prayers to depart, as they said, we'd like for you to leave our country. And Jesus passively turned and walked away from that pagan community because they ask him to. It's a dreadful thing to tell Jesus to go away in preferring your sin to salvation, but it's exactly what people do. In listening to the one voice that wants to keep everything that they have, instead of listening to the voice of Jesus who says, come and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, you shall find rest instead of restlessness. You can bid Jesus to depart this morning. In the words of Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not cast demons out in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name? And Jesus said, I shall say to you, depart from me, for I never knew you. When you say to Jesus, depart, he will do the very same thing to you one day. But know this, if you don't know Jesus and you keep telling him to depart, he's going to quit asking you to let him come. Demonic possession is all around us in various forms. And the only safe place from any type of demonic possession is to call upon the name of Jesus and have the Holy Spirit come and indwell you, because God's spirit and any evil spirit cannot cohabitate the same person, because God does not allow sin in his presence. And when he puts his Holy Spirit in you, no other spirit can live there, and you are safe from demonic possession. But that's the only way to be saved. If you've never asked Jesus in your heart, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that Jesus is calling upon you and saying, please open the door and let me come in. And you ask Jesus to come into your heart by praying this prayer. You say, God, I believe that you are God's Son, Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I want you to take me to heaven someday. I have sin in my heart, and I want you to forgive me. I want you to come in and be Lord of my life and put your Holy Spirit inside of me that I may be saved forever. And when he comes in, he never leaves. He'll never forsake you. He'll never walk away. He'll never turn his back on you. You're here, his forever and ever. And no other spirit can live there. They can't live there. They're gone forever. Would you stand and pray with me? Father God, this morning, as we've been hearing this story about Legion in your word, maybe some person has crossed our mind who has that demonic spirit. Lord, we come to you and we pray. We pray from our heart of hearts, first of all, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because even as believers, we sometimes sin and we need to be clean so that you'll hear our prayer. But Lord, we pray for that person. We pray that that demon would leave in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that they would be free of an evil spirit, an unclean spirit. Lord, we pray that they would be in their right mind. And Lord, we pray that they would say yes to you. That they would pray that simple prayer and ask Jesus to come in and be Lord in their life, to guide them, to direct them, that he would place his Holy Spirit in them, and that they would be a witness. Lord, we pray that they would be restored just like Legion was. And Lord, when you do so, when we see that happen, when we hear the testimony, We will glorify you. We will praise you. We will lift you up because you did it. And it was nothing we did. But Lord, we have faith. We have that faith of that mustard seed that's on the front of this pulpit, Lord. We have faith and we believe that you can do this very thing. And so, Lord, we pray earnestly. And Lord, you say the prayer of a righteous person avails much work. And Lord, you say where two or three people are together and they're praying in on the same thing, Lord, that what we bind here on earth is bound in heaven. And Lord, we bind that this morning. We bind that person that's on our mind that has the evil spirit, that, Lord, you would cleanse them from all unrighteousness, that you would cast out that evil spirit, that they would be in their right mind. Lord, we pray for people who we know that just don't know you. And Lord, every person who doesn't know you is in some form against you. And so, Lord, we pray for them. We pray that your Spirit would knock on their heart's door. We pray that there would be conviction in their lives. Lord, we pray that you would give them an itch that wouldn't quit until they respond to you in a positive light. Lord, there are many around us who are unsaved, who have never acknowledged you, have never asked you to come and live inside of them. And Lord, we pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, we pray that you would use us to share with them the truth of your word, to help them find you because you've been looking for them. Lord, we pray that you would use us. Help us to be a witness. Help us to have the testimony of how great you are in our lives and all the things that you do for us, Lord, not just when you saved us, but what you did for us last week. Give us a testimony, Lord. Make us a witness for you. Lord, I pray that you would have your will and your way during this invitation time, and we'll just give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We'll be singing page 282.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we ask that you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe that you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church, and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to contact our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.